Welcome back, church family, to this episode of the Deeper Podcast, where we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3 and the joy of knowing Christ. And we're joined again by Doug. Doug, welcome back.
Thanks.
Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
And you are preaching this weekend.
Hello.
Yeah. How are you feeling about the weekend?
Yeah. Nervous. Got some stuff to pull together and get in my mind in order. But yeah, overall excited about the passage. Love the stuff. Yeah.
Cool. And then, Bill, welcome back. We're glad to have you on the podcast.
Always good to be a part of it, man. Thanks.
So we're recording this on Thursday. Last night, we had a big hail and rainstorm.
Yeah.
What in the world?
It's soggy back there,
yeah,
dude.
If yeah. If you're watching the video, you can see some wetness behind us, I guess. Yeah.
Did you guys get... I mean, I heard the hail. That kind of woke us up. Did you guys get hail on your roofs, too?
On the roof and our window. Just like, ting, 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 ting. Our house is going to be okay after this.
Yeah, it felt pretty large over by us. I don't know. Not southeast.
Yeah, so. And I walked out hoping to see some hail damage on my car so that I could put an insurance claim in, but nothing. Did you guys see any... Was there any, like, damage that you could see? Okay.
No, not this time.
Too bad. Sorry, insurance adjusters out there. Yeah, not talking to you.
Yeah, and I haven't seen you guys as much this week because I've been gone. I had a retreat for the outreach team and the discipleship team. We're in that time of year where we're doing our budgets and our calendars and all that kind of stuff. And then we had Greg Pruitt come out and do some training with our team. So it was a really, really good time. And
nice.
I always enjoy this time of year to help us get prepared, both just as a team, just kind of our continuity, as well as some of those logistical planning things. So it was a good week for me. How was it here at the office? I heard yesterday was kind of quiet.
It's quiet.
You guys do anything
you.
Else fun?
Yeah, it's quiet without me. You here. Yeah. Just, I mean, you make so much noise around here.
Yeah, quiet for me too. Keelan is in India.
That's right. She's on the podcast next week.
Oh, nice.
And so we're going to hear about her trip.
Oh, good. I'm sure she's going to have awesome stories.
Yes.
Ryan was sick, and so it was real quiet up there in the old family ministry area. And that's rare. It's not often quiet up there. Yeah.
Yeah. A little quieter without Amy.
Yes. Right? Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Trying
for sure.
To balance out the volume and the fun and the joy.
Yeah, bring some down here. Yep.
Yeah.
A little watering hole that she's developed here.
The oasis.
In the cubicle across the hall. So it's pretty funny.
It. Yeah. Come visit the oasis is what we're calling it. And the new addition today. No, right across from Amy's office in the main offices. If you're listening to this and you haven't been down there, the new addition today was the poster of Bill Thunderlung Horn. Ooh. There's a wanted poster for Bill Thunderlung Horn that went up today. So it looks good.
That's in reference to "Oh Come All You Faithful."
Yes,
classic.
That was a Hinkle thing way back for. I think we did that for our leadership Christmas dinner one year.
Yes,
had Nick Von Bilo.
Right. Okay, I forgot
Joe.
About that.
I think there was another one. I don't know who else. There were a couple wanted posters. Those are the two that I can remember.
Oh, man.
That's the two that we have.
It's coming together.
There's some
good.
Other ones.
Yes, it is.
So
so for this weekend, Doug, you're preaching over Philippians 3. Yep. Give us a little bit of the context for that. And then what you really want people to take away.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, context. We've been talking about joy in Philippians. Week 1, of course, Jeremy, if you remember, was.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
was joy... Oh my goodness, this is great, but also...
Joy and suffering.
Joy and suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah, and pain, that's right. And he used the phrase about being in pain. Right, and then week 2 was conflict.
My 10-year anniversary, so
okay,
yeah, there's
all
my
right.
excuse.
Blah,
yeah.
blah, blah. Me too, I was also on my 10-year anniversary. Joy and conflict was last week, and this week it'll be joy in knowing Christ is kind of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So the context too is Philippians is a happy book, a happy little letter that Paul wrote, but chapter 3 is like the dark side of it where he spends some time talking about his opponents in the church, people who try to tear the church apart. And so the beginning of Philippians 3, he talks about the Judaizers, the people who want Christian converts to follow the Jewish laws and get circumcised. And he has to do that at a lot of the churches he planted. So he talks about that at the beginning. And at the end, he kind of talks about another group of people who chase after all of the joys and pleasures that the world has to offer. And kind of situated against both of those extremes is his ideal of knowing Christ. The ultimate joy should be in knowing Christ. And when you do that, it kind of gives you the answer to the other two problems. So
well, I'll begin with the big question that I think you're going to
Thank you.
End
yep.
with.
Thanks for answering that for me.
Is how do you know Jesus? And that's a big question. Then you have some kind of diagnostic questions to help us think through kind of where we're at in that progression of truly knowing Jesus. Do you know about him? Do you have you spent time with him, and have you suffered with him? And you give the great analogy of your relationship with Lee and kind of what that's looked like to have that progression with her in your life. So how would you guys think about and respond to that question of, do you know Jesus? And in regards to knowing about him, spending time with him, suffering with him, what does that look like in your life?
I mean, I think when I think about those questions, I think, it's not just kind of a static thing. Mm-hmm. So I think you can have gone through, great sentence, suffering with Jesus and being faithful and suffering for his sake, or going through a time of trial where you're trusting and walking with him. You know, that can be in the long distance past, and that's not kind of a current reality for you. So I think this is kind of a continual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not linear like that. Yeah.
Kind of yep. Like, so sure. Yep. We do need to know about him, and that's kind of where all of us start, and that's kind of the baseline, you know, of, you know, we know the truth about who Christ is and what he's done, and, you know, that's what we all need to have, that. That's foundational, and that's foundational for any relationship we know about somebody. And then, are we spending that daily time with him, that continual time with him, to continue to further that knowledge? And then that the fruit of that is then we start living that out. And when we live that out, when we walk through life in that kind of trusting relationship, that's where the suffering, the experiencing pain, and continuing to trust him. Because that's where it's really the rubber meets the road, is when we go through difficult times. It's easy to, oh, yeah, everything's great. You know, it's easy to say, I know Jesus and I'm walking with him when everything's fine and dandy, right? But when the stuff gets hard around us, that's when it's like, now, do I really know him? Do I really trust him? Or, because that's when it's put to the test, I guess. That's kind of the thing. So,
you remember, okay, so you actually referenced in feedback too, your testimony, like knowing Jesus, but then having a grace awakening, kind of in a sense. And so when I was thinking through, what does it mean for me to have grown in my knowledge of Christ throughout my life, there have been experiences or seasons where it feels like it's jumped from like knowing about him to like, oh man, I know him at a whole different level now. For you, what was like, what were some of those, maybe even your grace awakening point, but any times where you could be like, wow, I thought I knew Christ, but then I know him way more now than I did, you know, 3 months ago or whatever. What were some of those experiences?
Yeah, I think so. In reference to that one, kind of my awakening to the grace of God. You know, I was just very legalistic from 94 when I came to faith and like first started attending church and all of that stuff. Like all of that was all new to me. So kind of 93, I started attending church youth group with a friend of mine. Not actually like Sunday services, just the, you know, youth group Sunday night.
Yeah.
It was right down the street from my house. So I'd walk down there and go to youth group with him. And it was the weirdest thing I've ever experienced in my life. Okay. So
but funny, you kept
story,
going.
Funny story. Yeah. Just funny story. Cause now I'm a worship leader. Right. So like my first experience of worship was sitting in a room with like eight people.
Oh,
the youth leader had a boombox. And the songs I remember she played on the boombox after her little talk were In the Living Years by Mike and the Mechanics, Friends Are Friends Forever by Michael W. Smith, and Lean On Me. Like, what is going on? And these people are all sitting there just like singing? Reflecting on these songs. I'm like, what?
Were they just silently listening?
They were just silently listening. And I'm like, what is happening? I'm a 13-year-old. I'm like, what is going on here?
I was so confused. Kept going. Why did you
and
come back?
I don't
back?
Know why I came back. Yeah. Like, I really have no idea.
So
like,
creepy.
So anyway, that was my first experience with Christian worship. What's that? So anyway, because I'd like been in a church two other times before that. So it was... Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't know how we got rabbit trail.
Yeah.
'94. You know, when I came to faith, it just was very legalistic, and I was, you know, really trying to just do all the right stuff and be a good kid and all those things. I kind of just was a perfectionist in a way, so that just lends itself to legalism. And then I go through, I'm doing ministry, all of these things. And then I'm in serving in a college ministry after I graduated high school and got in an argument with a friend of mine who's also is Billy. So, he just really like called me on the carpet, like, God doesn't care about your good works, so to speak. Like, that's not going to make him love you more. Mm-hmm. And like, I agreed with that, but it's like, I didn't feel that, if that makes sense. So, like, I could agree to that mentally, like, okay, yeah, I think I see what you're saying, but do I really believe that in my heart of hearts? Mm-hmm. Or am I still trying to think I'm making it a sweeter deal for Jesus by doing the right stuff, you know? And so that kind of just sent me down this path. And the first book I came across that really, and I feel like God just put it in front of me, was On Christian Liberty by Martin Luther. And I read that book, read through the book of Romans, which is partly why I love Romans so much. Mm. All of this stuff was happening kind of all at the same time. And I really just became just completely enamored with the grace of God in Christ and the grace of the gospel. And that was just, I looked back and some of the stuff that I had been struggling with, some of the sin that I had just been battling with for years was like all of a sudden not a thing anymore. And I look back, I'm like, wait, what just happened? Like, I didn't conquer these things. They just fell off of me like dead skin. And now I feel like a much different person because I just became so enamored with God and just fell in love with him again and saw how good he had been to me. So I guess that's kind of, that was that, one of those moments for me where it just, you know,
huge leap forward
in my life with Christ. So,
Okay. Thank you. Anyway, that's very helpful. What about you, Jer? Have you had some moments like that?
Yeah. I mean, definitely God has used moments of suffering in my life to help grow my dependence on him.
Yeah.
And for me, suffering has not looked like, as I've visited missionaries around the world, some of the sufferings that they've had, where literally, if they are going to proclaim Christ, like they're going to get beaten or thrown in jail. I mean, all these different things. Hearing those stories, it's a different type of suffering. But in my life, I just, in seasons that have felt easy, I can easily just go to being like, I've got this. Like, I can depend on my own strength, my own abilities. I've got this. And so God has lovingly used suffering to allow me to be dependent on him because I simply don't have the capacity to be able to navigate the realities that he's put before me. And it's allowed me to grow in my my dependence on Christ, but also just my dependence on him to sacrifice in challenging seasons. And so I thank him for those times and allowing him to grow me in just my humility, my love for him. Because also in times of suffering, you can easily feel alone. And when I just have seen God's loving hand and just his closeness in those times of suffering, I just feel that depth of love, of appreciation, of gratitude through him. So I look at seasons of my life where there's been suffering, and I've never said I've enjoyed those or even I'd like to do that again.
Yeah, right.
But on the back end, I say, God, I can see how you worked through that.
And, I mean, maybe share about like your knee. Like that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that happened was I was in college and I was supposed to work at Kanakuk and work with my mentor and we're going to lead the basketball time together. And the first week I tear my knee and I have to go home and have surgery and the doctor won't let me go back. Kanakuk was going to give me an ATV and all this stuff, like reel around. And the doctor was like, no, putting your cast or your brace back on, you're going back home and you're staying home all summer. And so God used that summer for me to literally, couldn't move and do stuff. So I was in the Word. I like to be active and I couldn't be active. So I had to just be content and find my joy in being slower and just being more patient. And then God used what I had learned from Kanakuk to be able to develop Doxazo and the camps that we were doing there. And then that opened up doors I had to develop a team to help execute that. And then that opened doors for us to be invited into things happening in Highcrest. And so then Highcrest was even another season where I chose to live in that community. And as I was there, man, my wife and I just learned so much. By some sacrifices we made in that season, man, there was challenges, but man, we grew in just our love for God, our love for other people, and just learned so much. So God he doesn't waste anything.
Yep.
And he uses even our most difficult times to grow in knowing and seeing who God is and who he is as we allow him to enter into those times. I just wish that I could have that same love and dependence in the easy times.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just have had this happen so many times that I'm trying to now, when it feels like, oh, this is kind of an easy time, be like, God, I don't want to forget because I don't want to have another reminder to be able to get back to that place of dependence.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it in the past, but just like, it takes things that are hard for us to be sharpened. I mean, to be honed, you know, it's just kind of, and so if we approach them with faith, with the right angle, you know, then that will refine us and make us more like Christ. If we kind of forget God in the midst of that stuff, it can wreck us, you know?
Yeah. And, well, and okay. So in the message, right, the analogy I use about getting to know somebody is getting to know my wife. And some of the, I think we jumped in a little bit to the end of the ways I've gotten to know her the most closely, deeply, intimately has been through suffering, right, together and going through hard stuff together. But the vast majority of me getting to know her has been fun, right? Like in happy contexts or dates or the dating relationship or the engagement, and all that stuff. So in what way, I'm curious, what ways, so this isn't just like a downer of you can only get to know Christ through suffering. What ways that have been pure joy have you gotten to, have you like moved forward in your relationship and getting to know Christ? Like, can you think of those? I'm thinking, I'll start here. I'm thinking about like, community. I didn't know, and I tell my testimony like this, like I live life a certain way and then God impresses upon me something huge and I grow through that. And then I reach a new equilibrium and then, and that, and it just keeps going like that. But for me, it was college and, experiencing what real community and vulnerability was with a group of three other guys and like us meeting and reading the Bible together and then talking about our sins, but then also like going on trips together and talking about Jesus together and opening up conversations that for one reason or another had never happened in my life before with other guys. And through that community experience, getting to know who Jesus was as the creator of community and the originator of it in the Trinity, but also the one who built community in his disciples like that. And so I was like, oh, I get to know, I know Jesus way more, not only because I see him in the these guys that I'm meeting with, but because in experiencing community at all, I'm experiencing something that like Jesus created for us and like takes joy in. So that was one of those, okay, getting to know Christ better through pure joy. Do you guys have like anything off the top of your head in your own testimony or life that's like, oh, worship maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, just continuing this, the stories I shared. I mean, so when I tore my knee, the joy was to being able to see the leaders that I was able to help pour into and develop and see them, you know, giving this messages, you know, investing into the kids, leading the groups and just seeing the transformation in people. Or in Highcrest, being able to be a part of people getting baptized, of people following Jesus, like all these different things, just seeing how God just is moving in the lives of people and being able to be just a part of people's story along the way.
Yeah. So you're getting to know Christ in the sense that you're seeing the way that Christ moves through other people. So you're seeing different nuances and aspects of who Christ is through all the work that he's done. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, I'm not going to go with that example, Doug.
Worship too easy.
I think in marriage, so the positives, you know, just you talk about going through suffering and that's one way you get to know your wife better. I would say in the positive side of like the covenant of marriage and kind of experiencing that covenant kind of relationship that even when I really screw up, she's still there and still shows up. We're still in this together.
That's a great example.
That's been just a tangible picture of God's faithfulness to me.
You know? So tangible. And so, the most tangible you're ever going to experience.
Because she knows the worst of me. She sees it all, you know. And so for her to still keep showing up and still keep loving me and being faithful in that relationship, it's like something that you learn over time. You know, because we're coming up with 21 years. Just like, I can rest in that now. You know what I mean?
21 years. Yeah, holy old. So, okay.
But you know, like you start to be like feel like you can rest in that a little bit. And it's not something you... As someone who naturally has kind of, with the perfectionism and whatnot, like wanted to just this performance kind of thing, like I have to keep measuring up for someone to love me. Yeah. You know what I mean? To feel like that's not why anymore. Yeah. You know?
Yep. When you're also making me think of the kid, like the piece of kids, like when you have kids and then you think about Jesus as the son of the father giving his life, it takes on a whole new depth of meaning. And you're like, oh my goodness, I cannot imagine.
Yeah. You start to see his love more.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, okay, I see what it means now to be called a son of God and for Jesus to invite me into his family. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Yep. That was a great example, man. The covenant love of marriage and Jesus' love. Yeah. That's a great example. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. You're the host here, Jeremy. Like.
Yeah, but I'm.
Doug likes to. I'm not sure the right word.
Doug is
taken on Doug and ask the, other people okay. questions.
Doug is yeah, the best yeah. conversationalist yeah. I know. Okay. So Doug Sweet. Is Thanks. Great at asking questions, okay. and now, you spark conversation.
Now Doug is preaching this weekend, so it's easy for him to ask us questions because yeah. he's already kind of yeah. given his answers in the sermon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm that's showing true. Him some grace.
Thank yeah. you. That's Thank true. You. Okay, so in the text too, right? The two things that it fights against. That knowing Christ fights again, right? Against, sorry, is the legalism, empty religion, self-righteous mm-hmm. pursuits, right? And yeah. then the worldly temptations, allure, pleasure, hedonism stuff. So my question to you is, as you've grown in knowing Christ and felt the joy of knowing and following Christ, how has it helped you fight both of those extremes? And Bill, you did already share pretty well about how
the legalism
it helped you it, yeah. fight the legalism mm-hmm. part like that just kind of fell away, sloughed away, which I loved that. So do you have an answer for the other side of it? Like how knowing Christ more fully, and I, again, the word I use that we're not going to use is inoculated, but like helps you be less tempted by the allures of the world. Have you seen that
too? Yeah. I mean, so in that same instance, like that's, so the legalism faded away in that season of my life, but there were also like things that were besetting sins in my life that just I could not shake and would beat myself up over because one, I wasn't measuring up legalistically, you know,
yeah,
I wasn't
right.
wasn't being good enough, wasn't being perfect.
It just feeds that
yeah,
cycle.
Exactly.
There.
So yeah, and I feel like that's the thing. Like when the self-righteousness and the temptation, I think they are a vicious mm-hmm. cycle because when we are constantly looking at where we're not measuring up, like that's where the enemy wants us. Mm-hmm. It's like keeping our eyes on us and on our sin, because when it's staying in front of us, then we are thinking about it more and then we are tempted more by it.
Mm-hmm.
Where if we are setting our eyes on Jesus, and that was the thing for me, like I wrote songs about this stuff that I was struggling with for years. Like I go back and listen to some of my songs. I'm like, I can't even listen to these things anymore because it's just so, there's no grace. Like there's no recognition of God's mercy and grace toward me in Christ. It's all about like how bad I suck, you know? And so, I wrote a song called Judas.
About yourself?
About me.
Wow.
I mean, so yeah. that's, and I'll share that with you sometimes. It's funny. Anyway.
But, you can share it on the link to the podcast. If you want. Okay.
He's thinking about it.
It's on the internet somewhere. I don't know where. But anyway. And I didn't realize that vicious cycle that was happening. It just, I kept thinking about how bad I was. Mm-hmm. And then that thing was in front of me. And then I just kept being tempted by it because mm-hmm. it was in front of me all the time.
Yeah.
Where when I set my eyes on Christ and was just like dwelling on the goodness of the gospel, that stuff just kind of was in the background. And then, and like I said, I didn't feel like I conquered the sin. It just went away. It was
just
gone.
Its
the temptation was, yeah, it just yeah. lost its sway over me because it wasn't in front of me anymore. Mm. And because I was, there was something much better that yeah. I was setting my mind on.
Yeah.
You know, and so it just, it's crazy how that works, you know, because we talk about beating our sin and like getting victory over our sin. Yeah. Like, it, I don't think it's the way we think it is.
Yeah.
You know, we often think like, I'm going to overcome this thing. Like,
yeah.
no, it's Christ overwhelming us with his goodness. And when we become consumed with that, then the other stuff just loses its, like you said, it loses its allure. Like it's not drawing us anymore.
So. Mm. Mm. Jer?
So I think I'll zone in on the temptation one, how knowing Christ helps with that. And I think just in my life, it's been easy to pursue my own pleasure, comfort, that type of thing
yeah.
over Jesus.
Yeah.
And as I've known him, I feel like it has given me a model and example to really examine what does it look like to be patient with myself and with other people? How do I sacrifice well?
With my kids.
Yes, kids are a big part of it. And how am I content with what God has given me?
Yeah.
Both
yeah.
with, I mean, material things. You know, it could be your vehicle, your home. It can be your spouse, your kids. I mean, how am I, my position? How am I content with who I have in Christ? And by knowing what he has given me and entrusted me, how am I content in that? And how, as I see just the lavishness in which Christ has sacrificed for me. How do I give just even, you know, a little picture of that to the mm-hmm. way that I sacrifice for my wife, for my kids, for those around me? And then just the patience that Christ shows me time and time again as I mm-hmm. consistently fall short, and yet he still is so patient and kind and loving with me. How do I do that same thing with those that that God puts along my path and puts around me? So I think just choosing those paths of what I see modeled by Jesus, and as I just grow my relationship of knowing who God and who Christ is versus just seeking my own pleasure and comfort and kind of just taking the easy way out, mm-hmm. that discontentment at times.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Doug? As you were processing this message, and what were some of the things that you went to?
I think a lot of it was on the same, in the same realm of what you just talked about. So my easy sins are comfort and pleasure, like just choosing the things that are easy in the moment. And so it's kind of two parts. One, I feel like the more that you have experienced Christ through, man, through suffering with him, through living for him, the more you realize the staying power of that joy, like how that joy lasts, and you look towards eternity with it, and it is sweet now, and sweeter now than the things of the world, but even future, will, when it comes to fruition, will be the sweetest. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the more that you make right decisions in that, choosing Christ over the world, I think the more as I grow up and have, you know, I definitely have messed up more than I have chosen right, but as I grow up and have been able to see the emptiness or the temporary pleasures and how quickly they fade of the world, it's just like, okay, I am learning through so much trial and error that that this stuff, choosing Jesus and knowing him, is better. The joy lasts longer. It is eternal. This stuff is stupid. It fades so quickly. You regret it and you're resentful of it or the sacrifices you made to get it. And so it's just that, I mean, oh my goodness, it's attrition. There's so much of it that's just like, wake up. Like, how have you not really fully understood it by now? But that's a lot of what it is for me. And I think, yeah, some of it is just the time and the experience doing it. And some of it is just the more that I am allowing myself to be uncomfortable and finding, oh my goodness, that's actually when it's the sweetest, is like when I go to the farthest depths of what I think I can suffer, or what I can give to God. Like, oh, that's when my relationship with Christ is the sweetest. And so I just have, when I think about Paul and I think about what he did, the shipwrecking, the getting arrested, the giving up of his life, his dreams, what he had, his family. And I think about how far he went. And I think, man, I have barely begun to scrape the surface of what it means to know Christ like Paul knew Christ. And I am like the Hebrews, I think a lot of that Hebrews passage of like, you have not even resisted to the point of shedding blood. And I think about like my own life, like I've barely suffered to the point of like emotional trauma, right? But like what Paul went through, and for him to be able to be like 100% confidence, knowing Christ is better than all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, I want to get there someday, but also I'm scared to get there
well,
someday.
Well, I would say like, it's hard to know what your response will be until you're in it too. You know, so you can anticipate and be afraid of that. But I mean, I think it's similar to what Jesus told his disciples, like, you're going to be dragged in front of all these authorities and whatnot. Don't worry about what you're going to say. I'm going to give you the words. I think even like, even in those instances, I think we are surprised at how God upholds us and gives us what we need and the faith that we need in that moment. So like, the most tangible example that Diane and I have is probably Katrina, when we were evacuating and like, all right, all our stuff's gone.
Lost everything.
Yeah, here we go. So, and in that drive away, I mean, we had that conversation and we're like, we have everything we need right here. Like, we're good. No matter what, losing all that stuff, it's going to be fine. Like, we got Christ and we're good, you know? And I think we were both surprised at how okay we were, you know, awesome. In the midst of that. Yeah. You know, so I think as Christians, I think we will be surprised in those seasons.
That's nice. That's optimistic. I like that. Yeah.
That, you know, he gives you what you need in those moments.
Yeah, that's great.
Even if you don't feel like super Christian. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, right.
So I think he holds you up. So
Yeah. Well, let's wrap up the conversation with just kind of a tangible next step. The question is, how can you grow in the joy of knowing Christ this week? What can that look like this week as you grow in love of knowing Christ, the joy of knowing Christ?
I think, you know, Doug shared the example of the book Practice of the Presence of God, or Practicing the Presence of God.
Practicing.
Practicing. Yep. I was like, now I can't remember which one it is. Brother Lawrence. But I think just kind of going through your day and acknowledging the Lord and kind of in the good and the bad, you know, so thanking him for the little blessings, just little things. I think that's the thing. We tend to think of the huge wins and losses in life, the huge blessings and trials that we face, but even little things, you know, like you're stuck in traffic.
Yeah, exactly.
Lord, thank you that you're here with me. And this is not all life is, you know, it's not all dealing with traffic and whatnot, or people cutting me off or being jerks to me, you know, like that's, you know, just, or Lord, have mercy on that person and help me to be merciful towards them. You know, just having those little conversations throughout your day, I think that is a key way of leading us into knowing him more, because that we are spending time with him day by day. He's with us,
right?
But we're not really acknowledging it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and that's kind of his point in the book is like, Jesus is in the midst of all of these things with us. And it's really just us acknowledging and recognizing the presence of God in the midst of all those things and willingly spending that time with him, like giving ourselves to that presence, you know, like our acknowledgement, our words to knowing that he's with us. And so I think that's kind of in the little things, just going through your day. This isn't like spending hours in prayer every moment of the day, but it's just little, just acknowledgments of the Lord being with you and just talking with him like you would a friend.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, we tend to make it like this all or nothing kind of thing, but it's just, I think it's the little things often that make it more of a real thing for us. And that being reminded of his presence with us is what does lead us to joy, that I'm not alone.
Yeah.
That's really, you know, the core of it for me, I think.
I like that. For me, I think it's, my answer was going to be practicing the presence more.
Sorry.
I'll get a little more vulnerable even. So Lee and I are going through suffering right now, we would say, with just foster care stuff. And Amy said something in run through that just a good reminder of sometimes it just looks like inviting Jesus into those moments of suffering. And so, you know, you can suffer in a lot of different ways. And some of those could include not at all turning to God, right? Mm-hmm. And just trying to power through on your own. So what does it look like for me to know Christ in our suffering this week by constantly inviting him into it? And so it's nice when you have a wife who's already doing it all the time anyway, and we're having people pray for us and show up at our house and pray with us. And, you know, her and I are praying every night and praying with the kids. And so there is like, okay, I'm going to gain intimacy with Christ through him going through this with me. I'm going to see his provision, his love, his compassion for us in new ways and get to know him better through this as long as I continually invite him into it and like look for him in it instead of either, you know, closing off my heart because it hurts too bad or not wanting to talk about it because it makes it harder. So yeah, that's probably this week something I know I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For us, kind of combination of the two of you guys, we're just in a season where we're just needing to really pour out a lot and invest into our kids and our family right now. Mm. And so spending time with Jesus is essential, making sure I give that time. But when I'm in that time, not just having it be to know about him, but really to spend time with him and to have be in his word and say, okay, God, what is this revealing to me about who you are and then who I need to be reflection of that. But also that silence, that solitude, that prayer, just that relationship, that conversation to share where I'm at and then also listen to just Christ's insight and love and care into my life and what we're navigating through as a family. So yeah, I'm with you guys, practicing the presence of God and just inviting me into those small moments and then also those times of suffering as well.
Mm. Cool.
Bill, could you pray for our church family?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Father, thank you so much for how you are with us and how you invite us into joy, how you are our greatest treasure, and our greatest good is seeing that you are our treasure, Lord. So help us to treasure you above everything else in this life. And we pray that would just transform our day-to-day realities, Lord, from the small things to the big things that we face, both good and bad, that we would just see the treasure and the call that we have from you, and that our citizenship is with you, secured for us by Christ, and it's not dependent on us keeping up, but resting in what you've done, and recognizing that you're the one who wills and works within us for your good pleasure. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just continue to shape our hearts in such a way that they would treasure you above all else in this life, and that our hope is not here in this life, but secured with you. Lord, we also pray for Doug and Lee and their family as they navigate the stuff this week, that you would just continue to work that truth in their lives, and that they would continue to love well and not close off their hearts in spite of the difficult season they're going through right now, that you just uphold them and give them everything they need to reflect you in the midst of this situation and to honor you in it. And we pray just that your love would be a constant thing that's reminded to them as they walk through this week. Just that you would give them comfort and strength, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for us, God. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. And thank you that we can do this together as brothers and sisters in this life, that we're not in it alone, but we have community and other people to remind us of your goodness and of your presence with us. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray together. Amen.
Amen. Bill, thanks for being a guest this week on the Deeper Podcast. Doug, thanks for hosting this week.
Nice.
And nice. Thank you all for listening to this episode of the Deeper Podcast. We look forward to see you all next time.